Joining us now, Matty Johns. He's on Drive with Joel and Fletch with thanks to Four Pines Brewing Co. filled with real characters. Matty, good afternoon.
Boys, Joel, Spud, how are you, lads?
Good, mate.
I could be better, Matty. My efforts in horse training, I spoke to you last week. I don't know, one of your young blokes has had one of those crypto horses. Well, I bought one and got flogged last night. So there you go. Yeah. I'm not off to a great start. You haven't got one yourself?
Joel, I don't own a computer, as I said last week, so it's very hard. Unless I don't know if I can do it via smoke signal. mate, I the cryptocurrency and all that sort of stuff, I honestly cannot get my head around. I've got no idea.
No. What have you been doing this week, Matty?
Jesus. This lockdown thing, all your days just blend into another.
They do.
I went for a stroll this morning. You know, like when you get there, the most exciting thing you do in your day is walk down and buy yourself a cup of tea and turn around and walk home again.
That's
about it, you know, and enjoy a little, you know, that walk back without having a face mask on, just sipping your tea. That's the extent of it. I tell you what, I'm really looking forward to this round of football. It's some of the games this weekend for the teams are the biggest games of the season. Tonight, huge game for Canberra. Canberra, if they can win this game against Parramatta, then that really puts them with a good chance of coming out of nowhere and playing finals football. Really big game for the Titans and the Dragons. Big game for the Knights, Sharks. So yeah, that middle table. If one of those sides can go on a 2 or 3 week run, they'll play finals.
We spoke to Tommy Burgess moments ago. George is on a plane on the way out here, so I wonder whether there's plans on him turning up in a red and white jumper this year. Who knows? Now, with regards to Vita Pangai Jr., Matty, now, because of the date's been pushed back to August 1 for the transfer date, so to speak, are we anticipating the next 10 days seeing players, particularly from those at the bottom end of the table, joining those at the top where there are a few gaps?
You know what, Joel? It's so interesting. On one side of things, you get there and you go, is this right? The other side of it, I find extremely interesting. If a side is willing to leave a spot spare, then I would say good on them. But it's going to be interesting to see, how would I say this, how generous other sides are that can't make the finals. If they'll hand someone over, all those things. The Tevita thing has really surprised me, the Penrith have picked him up. He's great talent, Tevita. But they've got a great young pack. And Spud, I'll ask you, if you're a young back rower there and suddenly they sign Tevita, surely your nose is out of joint.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, Matty. My first thing was, I can't believe they signed him. What has their side done wrong? Their forward pack has been dominating the whole year. That's why they're on top near the top of the competition. They're unbelievable. But man, I've got a two-pronged question for yourself. Regards Pangai Jr., what's your thought of him going there? Six games to go. But the other one is, what do you reckon the Bulldogs are feeling that they say, just say he gets injured and he can't start the start of the year? They've got to put some sort of a rule in there or some sort of money sort of back for them.
I tell you, Spud, on the first one about him going there, what's really interesting is, you know, everyone's talking about, you know, listening the last 24 hours, it's a good pickup, and it very well might be. It's a great pickup. This is where they'll use him. Mate, first things first, he's got to make the 17. This is a really strong, young pack, which have all come through together. But it's twofold the challenge. Not only has he got to usurp one of these young fellas who've been there all year, but the really big challenge for Tevita is to all of a sudden put yourself in this football side, which is perfectly synchronised. Like their attack, they've got a really complex attack, which is made look easy because they've got great understanding right across the board, but they're a group of young blokes who have all come through simultaneously.
No big game.
Now, to come on the outside in and walk in and just say, look, and expect to just fit in, I don't know. That's tough. He's going to have to do a lot of tape work, and he's going to have to do a lot of homework before he's up for selection. I think Ivan has got there and said, had a look at the Melbourne Storm, how they're going, and said, I'm going to take a punt here. I'm going to back myself, or I'm going to buy some insurance and get Tevita, so that all of a sudden, if I get him here and he really starts to hit his straps, it's a bonus. Look, he hasn't bought him, in my opinion, through necessity. He's bought him to be possibly the icing on the cake.
Yep.
But, you know, Tavita's got a fair bit of work ahead of him if he's going to crack the 17.
Yeah, I just think, mate,
second one, which you said, was a really interesting one. If I'm the Bulldogs, I'm probably happy he's gone there, because what he's doing, he's left a culture where he's struggling and a side who's trying to find their identity into a club, into a team that has got a really strong culture, who knows what success is, and I'd be just hoping a little bit of that rubs off Tavita on the way through.
Yeah, I think he'll learn plenty of positivity there, but I just think, I hope it doesn't unbalance such a great side there. As you said, mate, they've worked so hard to keep their position, the top 17 there. But if someone comes in and wants to take your position, it's going to put a lot of noses out of queue.
No doubts, bud. Hey, Matty, mate, I'm with you.
We've got a lot of text messages today talking about, it was started for the West Tigers doco, which has been well received, about the access that I suppose broadcasters get these days. But we do know that the money for the players basically comes from the broadcasters. Some people are saying it's a little bit too intrusive. Where do you stand on this?
Well, it's my understanding. I haven't been involved with the project, but it's my workplace. It's my understanding, I believe, that the Tigers went to Fox Sports. That's my understanding. I might be wrong here, but that's my understanding, is that the Tigers went to Fox Sports and said, this is what we'd like to do. We need to lift the profile of the club. And they've got on board. Fox Sports has said, fantastic. It suits us, and it's great. It's great for Fox Sports. As far as being too intrusive, well, it's like this. You know, if someone says to you, and you're running a television company, and someone says, listen, we want you to come in, and it's all access, you go for it. You film what's there. You know, like at the end of the day, if they've just got the cameras there, right? They haven't asked Michael Maguire, any of the players, to stage manage any of this. This is fly on the wall. I think I think the first couple of rounds, which is only human nature, I think that Madge has been aware of the cameras.
Yes.
That is the way. Talking to Brad Haddon about it. Brad Haddon was part of that Ashes one that came out in Amazon.
The test, yep.
The test. I said to Brad, can you tell me what was the experience like? And he said, Matty, for the first couple of weeks, first 2-3 weeks, we were really conscious of the cameras, and the players were as well. But he said, after that point, you'd forget the cameras were there. And he said, that's when they got the real stuff. And so it's going to be interesting in coming weeks what happens. People are saying, look, it's an interesting side of Madge. I haven't seen that side of Madge as far as coaching, and I've, you know, little bits and pieces here and there, working with a couple of halves, his time at the Bunnies, and a little bit at the Tigers here and there. I haven't seen that side of Madge. Madge is pretty pragmatic. You know, I need you to do this, need you to do that. It's a sensitive new age Madge, so to speak. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what sort of coach you're going to be. Everyone judges you on winning and the losing. That's how it can. You can have a bad bedside manner. You can be ruthless. You can be a hard taskmaster. Or you can cuddle the players. At the end of the day, it's results.
Absolutely. Now, Spud, yesterday we got a text, which was a very good point, actually. Bulldog Bob texted through, and he said he found that, you know, with Madge, he came across as a very rah-rah, old-school type of rev-up sort of coach. However, maybe there was some kind of agreement where the more tactical stuff that Madge would share with the players, he didn't want to share. What was your take?
Yeah, Scott? I think when he said, he pulled up the captain and said, oh, I've got something good for you, or it could have been bad, he didn't want to show it. So he didn't. I just think over the next couple of weeks, as you said, the first couple of weeks, they know where the cameras are, the angles are, maybe they've hidden the cameras, and hopefully we see some action. I just think it's going to prove how good a coach Madge is, and also sometimes how bad their players are. I've often said, he'd die for their players. Why can't see their players want to do the same for him? I just can't see him bleeding blood for him.
There was an interesting moment, boys, on getting, I think, a side of the real Madge. If, like, Madge is a very technical coach. I like a technical coach. When I was playing, I couldn't take, it's just me. If a coach said, mate, just get out there and play football, or mate, you know, do it for your family, that just washed over me. I didn't know. I couldn't take anything away. I liked a coach that sat there and did X's and O's. That's just the way I worked because I played in the halves. Where Spud, you know, Spud would probably respond to, mate, giving him the reason and the emotion of why you do it. But there was a couple of things with Madge which we sort of caught, and I think we'll see more of. One, he had the playmakers on the floor running through plays with him.
Yeah,
and The other one was they were playing Newcastle, and I won't say the name of the play because I heard it and I thought, oh, you know, if we look at that magic, go, no, I'll go giving something away here.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He said, righto, let's lay a far post for a play. And he said to Billy Millard, his assistant, oh, bloody hell, Billy, we've gone a metre too far. It's not going to work.
Yes.
That's a little bit of Madge. That's the Madge I appreciate, that Madge, that understanding of the subtleties. And for people to know that, you want to hit a far post, it's about numbers, numerical advantage. Yeah. And the fact that he's gone, a player's gone a metre too far, meant that there's an extra defender on the open side where they wanted to go. And that's the science of the game. And the little bits of that will start to creep through.
And the time where he saw immediately it was trouble. He had a player down in back play and he was screaming,
yes.
Stop the game, which they didn't happen to do. And guess what happened at the other end of the field, Spud? They scored. Yeah.
But see, Matty, if we go back to in the 90s when we were coming through and the great clashes we had with Newcastle and Manly, I don't know what your old coach was like, but I know with Bozo, he was a numbers man as well. So we'd play the numbers. So I knew from a kickoff, I'd have to get to the three. The three might, I look down and it would be a Pepsi sign. There was the P in Pepsi.
Mm.
I'd have to hit that number. Then we'd say three to the seven. So the sevens, you've divided the field by 10. It was so amazing. And when I heard that from Madge saying, oh, we've got a metre pass, it was like instead of going to the six, they've gone to the seven. It's amazing. Yes.
It's a bloke walked past my place about 4 or 5 weeks ago and gave me a rugby league, a backhanded compliment. He said to me, oh, you know, I'm more of a rugby union cricket man. However, watching the State of Origin, I realised that you blokes have got some brains. And I thought, yeah, righto. So I said, come over here and I'll talk you through a set of six and how we deal. I said, mate, if we're looking sideways on a football field, we divide the field into percentages, 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%, all the way to 100%. Now we have a big playbook. So it's Pops, Crunch, Gans, Moores, Bozos, all these different calls. So in the run of a game, when everyone's tired, I've got to say, righto, mate, let's work to the 60, and we're going to put a Pop next on, and after that we're going to... I said, confusing, isn't it? He said, yeah, it is. I said, yeah, mate. I always thought your accountants... had more brains than that.
Matty, the Olympics are off to Brisbane, of all places. And you think about some of the iconic places they've been, and you can immediately think of landmarks, you know, Tokyo, and you've got LA and Hollywood, all those sorts of things, and Brisbane. And I just thought about this, the USA bus. Here's a USA bus off to an event or charging into Brisbane, and Gary Hall Jr. in 11 years' time, he's on there with his fake guitar and he's trying to smash guitars. And then all these cans start getting thrown at the US bus from Caxton Street. Can you imagine that?
Mate, I tell you what, when Brisbane first said they were going for it, because traditionally you think about Olympic Games, they're going to these, you know, like mega cities. Not that Sydney's a mega city, but you know what I mean? You know, I'm talking, you know, Athens, Barcelona, Tokyo, Los Angeles, etc. You know, when Brisbane, mate, what a coup for the city.
Massive.
It's incredible and good on them. But the fact that there was no competitor, basically, I'm dumbfounded by that. And I think sometimes, what does that say now about the Olympics? I'm not talking about the events itself and the spectacle, but the infrastructure and the money you have to put in to put the Olympics on, and then what do you do with it afterwards? I think that's the thing that scares off cities these days. But you know what? Great for Brisbane. Really, really good, and great to have it back in Australia again.
And the podcast with Fletch on the Olympics, what was the main talking points, Matty?
It was, the first one was just simply the city of Tokyo.
Mm.
I gave Fletch a history of the city of Japan. That went for about 2 minutes. And then we spoke about all the neighbourhoods of Tokyo, how everyone's different, the cultural differences. Mate, honestly, boys, when you go to Tokyo and you land, I think it's the best, in my opinion, it's my favourite city in the world, but it's actually like going to an alternate planet. It's just so different.
I've not been there, Spud, but I actually thought, you know, and as Matty said, no one was going for the bid. Surely, and it's great that Brisbane have got it, but surely you go to Tokyo and say, look, this is a shit sandwich. No one's going to the events, blah, 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 blah. Do you guys want to ever throw up the stumps for 2032? Wouldn't that be a logical sort of thing to do?
It would have been, but you know, congratulations. We'll say to Brisbane, good luck to them. I just want to see what they can do. It's in that another 10 years, man, I'm going to be a bloody 64, 65. Oh, my God. Mate, time's getting away.
I tell you, it is a real shame because I could only imagine I mean, they had it 1960 maybe, but I can only imagine the, you know, the games that they would have put on for tourists, because you go there as a tourist and you just you're blown away. The people, it's incredible. You open a map and you'll be bombarded by people. I told Fletch on the podcast, I went down with a bullet train down to Kyoto, and that's one thing about the train system. If they say the train's going to come at 2:10 in 3 seconds, it arrives at that time.
Wow.
But we went down to Kyoto, and I'm walking around trying to find this Rolling Stones bar. It's, you know, all these little nooks and crannies, because Tokyo's, if you're liking it, New York, Kyoto, San Francisco, more contained, but all these little alleyways, and I'm trying to find, I can't find them, walking around for about an hour. Suddenly I went into this other bar, and I'm sitting there knocking a few vodkas into myself, and I've held the map up and pointed to the barman, like, here, and he's looked and said, yep, nodded. Went and got a guy, it must have been a mate of his, who was at the bar, put him behind the bar, and he walked me 20 minutes to this other bar.
Wow.
And that's just an example of the hospitality. It's really a great city, Tokyo, but it's a great country.
I'll tell you what, you're a hard man to catch, Matty. I've been trying to chase you this week. I had to go through your son, Jack, to get... You've changed numbers again, okay? He reckons like that. He keeps losing his bloody phone, mate. So
oh,
I've sent in the mail, as I said, I've got a book coming out on the 17th of August called Spud, and I've sent you a copy for you. I know for your reading matters, mate, but there's a couple of good stories there, especially my favourite is from Paul Harrigan directly. Mm. I said, Chief, you got a chapter to give it to me? And he certainly does. So hopefully you enjoy the read, mate.
Mate, I'll tell you what I'll do. When I get the book, in 2 weeks' time, I'll come on here and give it a review.
Oh, beautiful.
Have you got stuck into Dr. Death yet, Matty, on Stan?
Oh, tell you, mate, I'm so sorry. Trish, my wife said, Trish, can you write down Dr. Death? No, I'm not talking about Joey. I'm talking about a series.
No, last week was The Spy. This is the new one everyone's talking about, Dr. Death.
Dr. Death, Trish.
Dr. Death, right. And write The Spy down as well.
Yeah. Do you want to hand up those stairs? You're right, Trish. Oh, she stumbled.
Oh.
She's going down.
Oh, no.
It's funny. Trish has been getting all this spam through. Mm. We're wondering where this comes from. Some of the things, pretty outrageous, that have come through, we did in the podcast. Some of the stuff that's coming through. There was one that says, do you want a bigger penis? Which, yes. On it, Trish said, what's this? I said, I think it's getting mixed up with my search engine.
Don't worry. Mate, while Trish is there, mate, has she got you any aftershave yet? I'm just worrying. Have you actually, you know, gone into your first, you know, bit of aftershave, give yourself a few squirts?
Mate, I still haven't. Although, mate, I bought some new deodorant the other day. Triple strength, and mate, which is very exciting.
Hey, Matty, what's on? We've got to move on, but what's on the show tomorrow as far as Morning Glory is concerned?
Well, I've got Webby and Joey on. We get a little bit of Olympics, a lot of what's going on in rugby league, and Webby's got this big story about Anastasia Palaszczuk and John Coates, which is just breaking, and he's right across it.
Beautiful, beautiful. We'll look forward to that. That is 9 a.m. to midday, SEN 1170. We'll look forward to that. Matty, thank you very much.
Good on you, lads. See you, boys.
Matty Johns on Drive with Joel and Fletch, with thanks to Four Pines Brewing Co., filled with real characters. And as I mentioned, Morning Glory with Matty Johns every Friday from 9 a.m. on 1170 SEN and the SEN app. Tomorrow, Andrew Johns, Andrew Webster. The Andrews have it.